So there's this one time when Jesus turns around to the people who tag along with him and he asks them what they came out to see. What did you come out to see? It's one of those questions that has a habit of boomeranging off the page and kind of clipping you in the back of the head when it comes back in. What did you come here to see? Spectacle. Sheer spectacle is something that was not strange at all to Freddie Mercury and the boys of Queen. To begin with, you've got all of the leather and the denim and the color and the camp and the hair, and all of that is garland for their doo-woppy operatic pop metal, which we shorten in the blend rock. But there's more than that going on too. There's also the spectacle of the late modern world as we know it, which so haunts the words of their songs. Look at all of those hungry mouths. Take a look at the suffering. And the trouble is that there's no turning away from it like a blind man, because whether you take a look in the mirror or you look up at the sky, anyone can see and feel the fear that maybe nothing really matters, even if we want it to. And in this, in a strange way, Freddie Mercury is channeling an ancient Jewish sage who spoke of the frustration of living life under the sun, as if trapped in a box with a lid on top that you would like to just punch a hole through so that you could transcend the life that you live as you know it, that you could transcend the world as we know it. It's the kind of desperation and pent-up desire that manifests itself in all kinds of ways in my life, in our lives. It's this, the pressure of living under the sun, and our desire to transcend it, that sends us from screen to screen and toggling from tab to tab, from store to store and drink to drink and bed to bed. It's hungry and thirsty for something to see, for someone to love, for something new under the sun, in all of the same old, same old. It's dark as night falls when Judas leaves the room where Jesus has been sharing what turns out to be his final supper with his disciples. Judas at one time must have had big hopes in Jesus, but here in this moment, for reasons that we don't know, his disillusionment has grown to the point where he's ready to trade those hopes in the life of Jesus for a bag of money. And in doing that, he sets in motion a series of dominoes that will result in this innocent man, Jesus of Nazareth, being nailed to a crossbeam the next day, gasping for breath as he suffocates to death outside of Jerusalem a half a day later. It is dark in this moment for Jesus and for the disciples, which is why it's so strange to hear what Jesus says. The first things out of his mouth are these words. Just now, he says, I, the Son of Man, was glorified, and God was glorified in me. Just now, in this dark moment, he says, something flamed out, shining like shook foil. Some heavy, beautiful brightness pierced through the night, precisely in this dark moment. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, John the storyteller confesses with astonishment on the surface of his voice that God, the God who made all things, has become flesh and tented among us. And therefore, we have seen his glory. The streaking shine of his life from the first chapter of John till now, as this God translated into human skin and bone and flesh walks with us, stays with us, speaks words of healing, comes to our gravesides, weeps over us, brings us to table with him, offers bread and wine, and gets down on the floor and strips down and washes the dirt off our feet. And soon we will send him out into the dark in this story by himself as we scatter, and he stands and hangs condemned for the very people who don't give a damn about him. It is the shape, the strange shape, of a life utterly given, nothing held back, for the good of others. Not only friends, but even enemies, and most especially those friends that are pretty good at being enemies. And John says, Jesus knows that this is what God is like. That in this dark moment of betrayal and self-emptying, you are seeing the shining forth of who God is underneath everything. Which is why it's actually not a change of subject when Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. There's nothing new about that commandment. You can find it in the Old Testament. What's new is the as that comes next. As I have loved you, so you must love one another, he says. As I have poured out my life, as I have spared no expense in my time or my energy, in my patience and tenderness and strength, in my own dignity, to give life to you, to do good to you to the very, very end. That, he says, is how I want you to treat one another. And he means most especially here, anyone in this room who considers themselves a follower of Jesus. Jesus has offered not only his life to give us life, but his life as a pattern to steady our shaky hands as we retrace the life he lived with our own lives, with one another. Which means that of all places, a place like this, in the lives of any of us, drawn into the story of Jesus, should be the places where it doesn't matter where you failed, what your political stance is, how woke you are or not. We are the people who give ourselves for each other joyfully to the end. And Jesus says that when and if the people who follow him do this, the shape of their lives gets laid over the shape of his, and all of the people within seeing distance will know that this is the same shape, and they too will see a flare of this glory of who God is, this love that goes all the way down through whatever darkness. They will see something new under the sun. What did you come here tonight to see? I'll go first. I'm here for this, actually. And we can all be honest. But I hope you get, just as I hope I get, a little more spectacle than I was bargaining for. That you see a glimmer of God's love made flesh here among us as we enact this strange pantomime drama of the bread and wine with Jesus' name attached. That you taste a little bit of peace and can actually let go of your restless attempts to escape and transcend your life such as it is in this world, such as it is, as though everything depends on you, because that's been sabotaged and God has actually punched through the ceiling and come down to be with us. Thank you very much. And also then, maybe even only out of the corner of your eye, a glint of the spectacle to end all spectacles that we heard read about. When heaven and earth get hitched, and the one who tented among us moves in permanently close enough that he wipes every tear from our eyes and can do something about our damn thirst. Amen.